Brothers and sisters, would you remain standing since you're already there? Find your Bibles. John chapter 1, verse 43. I'm trying to be a little bit more accommodating to your knees. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 43, as we are standing in honor of the reading of the Lord's Word, follow along. As I read, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to worship you in song this morning. Thank you for these tremendous testimonies from Daniel and from Dean, how you have brought them to this point in their lives and in the life of our church. And thank you, Father, for your word. And I pray over the next few moments, Father, that you would guide and direct us and give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is receptive to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, and now you may be seated. This morning we continue our verse-by-verse and chapter-by-chapter study of the Gospel of John, and we have found ourselves this morning at the end of chapter 1, and I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, "Jesus is our only ladder." Jesus is our only ladder. That may sound odd or unusual at this point. I hope by the end of our time together it will be clearer. Last Sunday morning we were introduced to some of Jesus's first disciples, Andrew and his brother Peter, and today we'll be introduced to Philip and Nathanael. Look with me, if you will, in verse 43. Again, we see another time marker. John the Apostle reminds us this is now another day, the next day, the following day. Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. And then notice those next three words. He found Philip. Can I just give you a brief word of an invitation? On Wednesday nights at 6:30 in the fellowship hall, we have begun to do something a little bit different that we're simply calling Digging Deeper. And it's not a repeat of Sunday morning in John's Gospel. It's in addition to Sunday morning in John's Gospel. And we are taking the same text, but we are digging a little bit deeper simply because 30 to 35 minutes is just not enough time to explore on Sunday morning. And this coming Wednesday night, we are going to be looking at the often maligned doctrine of election. Notice what the text says. It doesn't say that Philip found Jesus. Jesus was not the one that was lost. It says that Jesus found Philip. And I would dare say that that is true of everyone in the room this morning. If you know Christ as Savior and Lord, that you were lost and He found you. And so I would invite you to join us on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 for digging deeper. Jesus found Philip and said to him, "Hey, Philip, follow me." Literally, follow me. And we'll continue to see the evolution of this word follow, going from a literal meaning to a figurative meaning of becoming a disciple of Jesus. Verse 44, now Philip was from Bethsaida. More than likely, like Andrew and Peter, Philip was a fisherman. Now, how do you get that from verse 44? Well, the word Bethsaida, the name of that community, means the house of fishing or the house of fishermen. And so more than likely, Philip was also a fisherman, being from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And then notice in verse 45 that Philip did very similarly as Andrew did last week. Andrew found Peter and told Peter and brought Peter. Notice what Philip did in verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told Nathanael. And if you understand in verse 46, this invitation of come and see, he even brought Nathanael. But again, verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." It's interesting that this name, Nathanael, every time it is used in John's gospel, Nathanael is paired with Philip. However, when you read the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, do you know that you will never find the name Nathanael? Instead, you will find the name Bartholomew. And so more than likely, because in the synoptic gospels, Bartholomew is the one that is always paired with Philip, more than likely this individual here at the end of John chapter 1 is Nathanael Bartholomew. Nathanael, the son of Ptolemy, was probably his father's name. But when Philip found Nathanael, he had something to share with him. He had come to his own conclusion, his own conviction. And so he says to Nathanael, much in the same way that Andrew said to Peter, "We have found the Messiah. We were looking for him. The Lord had convicted us of our need, that we were lost. We were hoping for him. We had read about him. The Old Testament prophesied about him. And Nathanael, we found him. Jesus of Nazareth." Now, Jesus wasn't born in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. But he was raised in Nazareth. The son of Joseph. And can I remind you this morning, I'm not sure if you've ever thought of it in this way, but the adopted son of Joseph. On Sanctity of Life Sunday, and how it is imperative, in my perspective, that the body of Christ not only pray for the overturning of Roe versus Wade, but also the body of Christ recognizing that if that happens, and I pray that it does in our lifetime, that we need the body of Christ to stand up and step forward as foster parents and adoptive parents, just like Joseph was. Jesus is not his biological son, but Jesus was the son that Joseph adopted. In verse 46, obviously Nathanael did not have the highest regard for Nazareth. Maybe he saw Nazareth as a rival community or a competing community. But he says to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, you're telling me that the promised Messiah has come out of Nazareth. Now, I know of the promised Messiah. I need the promised Messiah. But are you sure that's where he came from?" And then Philip gives us a great example here in handling conflict. He doesn't argue with Nathanael. He just simply says, "Hey, why don't you come and see for yourself?" He invites him. He doesn't get in this long, drawn-out dispute. "Oh, yeah, well, he is good. And don't say that about Nazareth. Hey, why don't you just come and see? Come and see for yourself." Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him. Yes, he physically saw Nathanael, but he spiritually saw Nathanael. Jesus being the Son of God, the Son of Man, the promised Messiah, omniscient God, knowing all, he peered into Nathanael's heart. And in verse 47, behold, look, there's Nathanael. An Israelite, indeed, in whom is no deceit. Now, that may sound very innocent to you, innocent to us. But it's interesting how Jesus describes Nathanael. An Israelite from Israel, from Jacob. But if you remember about Jacob, Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was a conniver. There definitely was guile and deceit within Jacob. That word deceit means bait or trap. And as he talks about Nathanael, he in effect says that, look, there's Nathanael. He's the complete opposite of Jacob, who was a liar and a thief. Verse 48, Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me? Have we met before? Have our paths crossed previously?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, Nathanael, I saw you over there under that fig tree. under the fig tree was oftentimes where the first century Jew would go to read the Old Testament law, to meditate on God's word. And Philip said to Nathanael, "Nathanael, I saw you over there. And I saw what you were doing. But I just didn't see physically, but I saw into your heart. Because I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of Man. And I know everything. And about you." Brothers and sisters, did you know that the same Jesus who knew everything about Nathanael knows everything about you this morning? And as we think about on Sanctity of Life Sunday, that every life is created in the image of God from conception to natural death, that life doesn't begin outside the womb, but life begins inside the womb. The life of every individual, those who speak the same language that we do and those who don't, and those who have the same skin color as we do and those that don't, every single human life. Get this, brothers and sisters, even those who vote differently than us, created in the image of God. You read a portion of this psalm in your Sunday school small groups this morning. I would like for you to listen as I read a little bit more. Psalm 139. David said, "O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the winds of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book there all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you." You see, every individual created in the image of God. And it was Jesus' omniscience is all that Nathanael needed. Back in John chapter 1, verse 49, Nathanael said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Only the Son of God and only the King of Israel could know what you know. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe?" Oh, Nathanael believed. Jesus said, "You will see greater things than these." Beginning next Sunday morning as we begin John chapter 2, commentators tell us that there are no less than 35 miracles in John's gospel that we will see on the pages of Scripture, and the very first one happening next Sunday morning at a wedding in Cana. Make sure you're here for that. Verse 51, Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." More than likely, when Jesus saw Nathanael from afar, under that fig tree, Nathanael was reading Genesis chapter 28. And in Genesis chapter 28, in verses 10 through 18, there is the story of Jacob, who had recently stolen his brother's birthright, who was on the run for his safety, and that night was spending outside. And after he had laid his head on a rock to sleep, the Lord came to him in a vision. And the scriptures tell us that Jacob saw angels descending and ascending on a ladder, connecting heaven and earth. And that dream goes on to share with us God speaking and promising Jacob that his descendants would inherit that land, and in that land would be the presence of God. But notice what Jesus does here in verse 51. Jesus says, "I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending, going up, and descending, going down, not upon a ladder, but upon what? The Son of Man." Well, who was the Son of Man? The Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean, Brother Richard? It means that Jesus Christ is our only hope and connection from earth to heaven. Jesus Christ is our only hope and connection between man and God. You see, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, being a better person is not your ladder. Being a better person is not going to gain you access to God. Giving more money is not going to be your ladder. Who your grandparents are or who your parents are is not going to be your ladder. Our only ladder is Jesus Christ. I don't know if you were here last Sunday morning, but if you were, you will remember that around the baptistry behind me was garland. And at the top of the baptistry, there was a wreath. And because the Christmas season was over, that garland and that wreath needed to come down. We needed some elevation assistance, because I did not know anyone tall enough to bring it down. And I'll spare you the details of what took place last Monday when Brother Ronnie and Brother Chris and I used scaffolding and a ladder for fear that I might have a phone call from OSHA tomorrow morning. But the only way that we were to get that garland down was with a ladder, some elevation assistance. And as you can see, the garland and the wreath is no longer hanging. And you've probably seen this morning Brother Ronnie and Brother Chris and Brother Richard, and no broken bones. So all things considered, it was a successful effort. We needed a ladder. We needed elevation assistance. That garland and wreath wasn't coming down. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you're in desperate need of a ladder. Your only connection with God is going to happen through Jesus Christ. He is our only ladder. Here's what Jesus said about himself in John chapter 14, verse 6, which we will get to eventually. I'm the way and the truth and the life. And listen to this last part of the verse. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is our only ladder. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter said, there is salvation in no other name. There is only one name under heaven by which men and women and boys and girls must be, can be, will be saved. And it's the name of Jesus. And then finally in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that you can have peace with God is through the ladder of Jesus Christ. You may be here this morning, and if you have never put your faith and trust in Christ, today I would invite you to admit that you're a sinner. Today I would invite you to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place and for your sin. Today I would invite you to call on Him to save you, because He is our only ladder. In just a moment after I finish praying, Brother Chris is going to come and lead us, and we'll be standing and singing all across the auditorium. And if today you would accept that invitation to know Christ personally, I would invite you to come here to the front. Love to welcome you, love to greet you, love to celebrate with you, pray with you, counsel with you about Jesus becoming your ladder. But let me give one more application of today's text, and then I'll be done. And that application is for my brothers and sisters in Christ. It has been well said that lit torches light other torches. Let me say that again. Lit torches light other torches. If you were here for our Christmas Eve service, you'll remember that I took my candle and it was lit by the Christ candle. And then my lit candle lit Christie's candle. And then our lit candles from the front to the back lit every other candle. Last Sunday morning, you saw that Andrew's torch was lit. And what did he do? He lit Peter's torch. And today, you saw that Philip's torch was lit. And what did he do? He lit Nathaniel's torch. You see, lit torches light other torches. And so many times I have church members say to me, oh, Brother Richard, I would love to see today first century Christianity on the pages of Scripture. Brothers and sisters, if we want to see first century Christianity, we have to start being obedient like first century Christians. So that lit torches light other torches. who is the Peter that you need to find and tell and bring? Who is the Nathaniel that you need to find and tell and bring? Lit torches light other torches. And Jesus is our only ladder. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? And as I mentioned to you a moment ago, in just a moment, I'm going to pray. And after I finish praying, I'm going to invite you to stand. And Brother Chris is going to come and he's going to lead us. And we'll be singing all across the auditorium. And if today you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, but today Jesus has found you, I would invite you to make your way here to the front. Let us celebrate with you, counsel with you, pray with you, welcome you. Maybe there where you'll be standing in just a moment, God will place on your heart the name of someone that you need to find, someone you need to tell, someone you need to bring. Maybe a family member, maybe a classmate, maybe a co-worker, maybe a neighbor. Would you be obedient? As Andrew was, would you be obedient as Philip was? Would you light other torches because Jesus has lit your torch? Father in heaven, thank you and praise you for John's gospel. And I pray this morning that as we continue to see the gospel, the followers of Christ, Father, I pray that we'd be faithful in following your Son, Jesus. I pray that we would understand that he's our only ladder. Being a better person won't do it. Giving more money won't do it. Our family tree's not going to do it. But putting our faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, he's our only connection from earth to heaven. Father, let us also be faithful witnesses of the gospel as someone was one time faithful toward us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. We ask and pray this today in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, would you come today, the very first stanza, responding to God's word.